We're looking today at Luke chapter 3 at the work of John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and we're going to begin reading today in Luke chapter 3, verse 4. That's Luke chapter 3, verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. You see, this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 40. There were at least two Old Testament prophets that talked about and prophesied of the coming of John the Baptist. Now, they didn't name him John the Baptist in the Old Testament, but they did predict the coming of this messenger. And those two prophets that I have in mind are Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, and also Malachi in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, where he talks about this messenger that God is going to send before the Messiah. And then in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, where the Bible calls him Elijah. And we know that that Elijah referred to John the Baptist. So let's look at what Isaiah said about John the Baptist here in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, where Isaiah the prophet said these words in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, when the Bible says the voice of one crying out here, remember that the word crying out or crying forth in the Bible usually refers to some kind of preaching or teaching that was being done by a man of God. It doesn't necessarily mean that the person was crying tears. It just means that the person was speaking out. And when you look at the word wilderness here, remember in the Bible that that word refers oftentimes to a deserted place. In other words, a place where you don't have a lot of houses and a lot of people. Doesn't necessarily mean a desert place where it's so dry that nothing grows. But the idea here of John the Baptist being down there at the Jordan River and doing the preaching and doing the work that he did, I believe has given rise to a lot of false impressions or speculation at least about what kind of man John was. Some of the movies that have been produced have depicted John the Baptist as almost some kind of wild man or almost some kind of hippie that was out there preaching to these people and causing a big stir. We find that John the Baptist was a man of God. He was raised by Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so he was raised in a Jewish community. It's not like he was some kind of uncivilized person. He's just a man who is preaching a message that these people need to hear. And he's calling attention to their sins in his preaching. The Bible says, long before John the Baptist was born, in Isaiah 40 verses 3 through 5, that God had appointed him to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his path straight. So the Lord, Jesus, was coming. The Messiah was about to enter the world and start his preaching. And what was to take place before that? What was it that paved the way for Jesus' ministry? Well, it was the work of John the Baptist. And in verse 5, Isaiah said, here's what John the Baptist is going to do. He said, when John the Baptist comes, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Now, what does he mean here when he says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low? Is he talking about the terrain? Is he talking about geography here? Is he saying this is literally going to happen to the earth? No, he's using those things as figures. I've sometimes heard people ask, well, does the Bible mean in this passage that before the Lord comes again, that the earth is going to change in its shape and the hills are going to descend and the valleys are going to be brought back up and the earth is going to be more level? No, that's not at all what John is going to be doing. That's not at all what Isaiah is prophesying of here. The Bible here, in talking about these valleys and talking about these mountains, is talking about people. This is a description of society and how that John the Baptist preaching is going to change the culture. It's going to change the society because he's going to bring people to repentance. Let's read verse 5 again. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You see, when he's talking about the mountains and the valleys here, he makes it plain in the last part of this passage that he's talking about people. He's not talking about crooked roads and crooked hills. He's talking about crooked people. And they're going to be made straight by the preaching of John the Baptist and by his work. So that's what Isaiah said that John the Baptist is going to do. And he says in verse 6 that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now let's look at who came to John the Baptist's baptism. This is very interesting. And what you find in John the Baptist's baptism and in his work is that when he began to preach and baptize these people, he began to draw crowds. And there were different kinds of people in those audiences. Some were there for the right reason and some were there for the wrong reason. There were people there who were sincere and interested in doing what John said, and there were people there just to criticize or to find out what was going on so that they could report it to the Jewish leaders. And so we find both groups. In Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, we read about the insincere group of people that came to John's baptism. In verse 7, the Bible said, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So he looks at these people and he says that they are a generation of vipers. Now there's a very important passage that shows us something very interesting about this verse. And that is when John the Baptist says this, he is talking to a particular group of people in that multitude. He's not saying that everybody that wanted to be baptized by him was insincere or some kind of hypocrite. You see, there were sincere people in this group who wanted to do what was right, and there were people who were not sincere, who were there either to cause trouble or just to find out something about John the Baptist that they could use against him somehow. Now, the passage that I'm talking about that really shines some light on Luke chapter 3 is Matthew chapter 3. Now, here's where the Bible shows us that when John the Baptist used the word vipers and told these people that they were a generation of vipers or snakes, he wasn't talking to every single person in that audience. He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the passage that shows us that is Matthew chapter 3. Let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 3, verse 5, where the Bible says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So when he calls them a generation of vipers, he's talking to the Jewish leaders. He's talking to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees. These people who were not concerned about doing what John said, they were not sincere. They were not people who were interested in doing what was right. They were hypocrites. And there's a passage later on in the book of Luke that tells us something about these Pharisees and religious leaders when it comes to John's baptism. In Luke chapter 7, verse 29, the Bible says, "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." Now that tells you something about John's baptism. It was not some kind of optional matter for the people that heard it and the people that had the opportunity to do it. In other words, John the Baptist did not preach and say, "Well, it's all right if you want to be baptized, and it's all right if you don't." These people who refused to be baptized by John the Baptist rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Now, that is Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. Now, those are the people that you're talking about in Luke chapter 3, verse 7, when John the Baptist said that they were a generation of vipers. Matthew 3, verse 7 tells us that those people were the Sadducees and the Pharisees who had no good intention for being there to start with. and he called them a generation of vipers. Vipers? That's right. Snakes. You see, in the Bible, bad men are called by different names of animals that we see in the earth. Sometimes bad men are called wolves. Sometimes evil men are called dogs in the Bible. Sometimes evil men are called swine and other names in the Bible. Here, these men, these religious leaders of the Jews, are called snakes. Poisonous snakes. Vipers. Why would that be? Why would John the Baptist refer to these people as snakes and call them this to their faces? You notice that John the Baptist did not get off behind their backs and refer to them by this name. He said this to their face because these men were hypocrites and they were leading the people astray with their lives and with their teaching. Now, why does he call them snakes? Because they were deceptive. Because they were dangerous. Because they were cunning like snakes. They acted like snakes. You know, sometimes today, when we want to describe somebody that is very sneaky and that is very dishonest, we say that he's like a snake in the grass. Well, you see, John the Baptist was using the word snakes in that way. And he's talking about these highly regarded, oftentimes highly regarded, Jewish leaders, religious leaders. Men who acted like and had the reputation of being more religious than other people, and yet when John the Baptist and Jesus Christ came on the scene, they both referred to these religious leaders as snakes. Now, sometimes today people look at these words and think that they're harsh, but you have to remember how evil and how hypocritical these Jewish leaders were. These are the Jewish leaders who eventually are going to have Jesus Christ executed. And so we cannot underestimate just how mean and vicious they were. They were like snakes. And this word that John the Baptist uses here to describe them is fitting. It is appropriate. So when somebody looks at John the Baptist and says, well, he's just mean. He's not even loving. Well, the Bible says that among those that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That was Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 himself who said that. John the Baptist was a great man. He was a man of faith. He was a man of courage. And he was also a man of love. But remember, folks, the Bible says in Revelation 3 verse 19 that our Lord Jesus Christ said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. John the Baptist loved these people. And he was not afraid to rebuke them when they were in sin. The Bible shows this in Luke chapter 3, and we're going to study it some more tomorrow as we continue to look at the work and the life of John the Baptist. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure to have you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.